On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
So you get excited because they're excited, gets me excited, gets all of our fans excited, and our sponsors. So it's going to work out.
Bless you, boys! Unbelievable! I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
Step into the well-informed, ill-advised, and oddly entertaining world of Tall Can Sports.
Here we go!
Light the candle!
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Tall Can Sports number 299 on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. Another Sunday night, Monday morning for most of you. Joined on the line by Maddie Lang. What's going on, man? How was your weekend?
We're nice and cold here in Toronto, brother.
Yeah.
Otherwise, just got the rum and coke ready.
Attaboy.
And ready to roll with you tonight.
Okay. You know what? This is going to be heavy on the NBA talk, and we'll get to that in just a second. I was conversing with a couple of listeners online tonight during this weird Leafs-Rangers game that went on. It's been a weird weekend for the Maple Leafs, man. I know you didn't have a chance to catch either of the games. It must be nice to have a life. I don't know what that's all about. Unfortunately, I watched both of them. They get a win against the Habs on Saturday night. Really, that's the important one because the Canadiens fans are just getting a little too mouthy, and it was good to put them back in their place a little bit. But the Leafs, if we're being honest, at 5-on-5 in that game, were probably a little bit outplayed and still managed just on skill to kind of get by. In this game tonight, they outshoot their opponent. Like, they put 56 or 58 shots on the Rangers' backup goalie and can only get one by him. And so we get all the usual stuff about Sparks as a backup not being able to get it done. And you're like, yeah, but you put 55 shots on goal and only scored one of them. You didn't leave him a whole lot of room for error. There was one goal I would have liked him to have had. But, man, we are just at this weird point where I don't think Leaf fans remember what it's like to be good. I think, look, if you put 56 shots on goal against a backup goalie on a Sunday night of a back-to-back, you probably did okay. But this shit just kind of happens some nights, don't you think? Like,
yeah, this is, you know, not that there should be any bandwagon Maple Leaf fans at this point.
Right.
But I do think, you know, when they got Matthews and Marner, and now with Tavares on the team, and that just fire start they had to this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they were putting up 5-6 goals a game, it seemed like, for about 2 weeks there. It set an expectation for people who haven't maybe been paying attention to hockey all that long.
People who don't remember the Matt Stajan Leafs, like,
yeah, you know, when we have Matt Stajan centering a first line, Bozak right. centering a first line, like, this wasn't that long ago, right? We're right. talking 5 years,
recent memory, yeah.
And I mean, if I could erase those memories, I would too.
Sure,
I just don't have that talent.
Yeah,
listen, this we've had some bad Leaf teams in the past couple years, in the past decade, let's say.
Yeah.
Dion Phaneuf comes to mind quite a bit.
Remember Nicholas Hagman was our leading scorer 1 year. Like, no one even remembers who that guy is, but he was our star winger for a year or two. Like, terrible.
Going back a couple more years than that, but Jason Blake.
Yeah.
For a couple years.
Oh, God, man.
You know, we had some really bad teams, and I do feel part of this, and maybe it's just the Twitter generation now as well. there's a lot more complaining about Leaf games.
Yes.
You know, this is an 82 game schedule.
Right.
They're not going to run the table. Unfortunately, sometimes it looks bad because we've got Tampa Bay in our division.
Yep.
In our division. And, you know, they're just a juggernaut, unfortunately, and make everybody else in the league look mediocre, unless your name's Nashville. So I think when you look at the standings, you look at it and you're like, oh, geez, we're so far behind. What the hell are they doing? God's sake, they're like the third or fourth best team in the league.
Yeah,
right?
You're still a top five team in the league. It's just that the first place team resides in your division and they've blown the world away.
Yeah, and it's okay. They can be the first place team and the best team of the planet in February. We don't want to be the best team in February, right?
That's
you want to grow and come into it as a team, and there's still a little bit of trade deadline stuff to come towards the end of the month. So I don't think this is the team we're going to finish with either. I always find the Sunday night back-to-back is a tough
one. It's tough. Even for fans, it's hard to get into. You're like, I guess, right? Like,
especially coming off two original six games for sure, but say what you want about the Rangers. When the Leafs play Ottawa, Boston, Montreal, it's a way bigger game. That's the game you're getting psyched up for.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they put up that many shots that they were
right? Like, you'd totally get it. You'd be pissed, but you'd get it if they came out and they only got 17 shots on a backup and they didn't have their legs, and you'd be like, well, it's the second half of back-to-back. These are going to happen. The Leafs were pretty damn good tonight, and they put up like 23 of those shots on the power play and couldn't get that going either, which to me is more alarming than anything else. With this much talent, we've got to find a way to get the power play going. But you could have easily won that game. The guy stood on his head, and, you know, this happens. And as I'm sitting there, I'm talking to the fans, and I'm kind of telling them, or, you know, to our listeners, going, this is going to be a rage pod. I'm so pissed. I'm hating every second of this. But when it was over, you kind of walk away. You maybe grab one more out of the keg fridge, and you go, yeah, you know what? They just weren't that bad. And we maybe got away with one the night before, where maybe we shouldn't have got 2 points. The Leafs weren't bad, but Montreal was full value for a win, too, if they'd have been able to get it. So you kind of go, eh, all right. Like,
listen, this is still a sport where a goalie can steal a game.
Yeah.
Right? And if you got a goalie who's just locked in, that's just the way it goes sometimes. If you ask, I mean, for all the complaints about Garrett Sparks, he's got better numbers this year than Henrik Lundqvist.
Yep.
So
he's
maybe
coming into this with a .909 save percentage, which is pretty much average in the league at this point. It used to be .915. Save percentage is down this year. Guys are shooting better. Goalie equipment has been shrunk down a little bit. Like, goals are up this year, and Garrett Sparks is right there, kind of middle of the pack. He doesn't always look pretty, but he's getting wins, and he's getting it done most of the time.
Yeah, and this is a guy who I think still at some point would like to be a starting goaltender in the league.
Yeah.
His numbers in the AHL were phenomenal.
Yep.
Fantastic couple years down there. He's a guy who's grown through the organization right from the ECHL. They know who he is. This is like going from being, you know, an everyday first baseman to a backup.
Right.
Right? Where you're getting 4 or 5 swings a game, and now you're getting once a week you're playing, maybe, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to keep that consistency as a goalie. And that's why in this league, we have these guys who are just backup goalies and keep running out team to team because they're really good at just playing every 4 to 5 games.
Right. And I think,
and maybe he's not that guy. Who knows? He's still got some time.
And we can have that conversation. It's early enough. He's young enough. Like, we don't know if he's going to be able to handle that, or if he has to be an everyday guy. But you're seeing Leaf fans online talk about, man, get us a backup goalie at the deadline. And you're going, we are so pinched on the cap. And that's what you want to spend that little bit of cash you got on, is another goalie. Look, if Freddie goes down in the playoffs, you're fucking dickered no matter who's going in there. So might as well be Sparks, right? Like, I'm not using up what little cap space we got on going and getting another goalie at the deadline. That's not happening for me.
You know, you leave it to Leaf fans to complain about getting Curtis McElhinney back, right?
Honestly.
Fuck. There's just no winning with a Toronto Maple Leaf fan.
It's true.
From Oshawa. That's all I'll say, right?
Like, settle down over there. I wanted to ask you, just before we get into the NBA stuff, the Leafs have had their troubles over the years and this season with the Bruins. We know what that looks like. The Leafs have now won both games with Montreal, but both of them were in overtime. Both really good contests. The Habs have been better than anyone expected. I'm curious, as a Leaf fan, I guess, who would you rather see in the first round of the playoffs? Because it looks like it's going to be one of those two teams, and this looks like it's going to be a race all the way through between the three of them in terms of who's getting home ice. The Canadiens thing has the awesome rivalry. The Bruins thing has the, you know, can we slay the dragon? But I think a lot of Leaf fans are afraid to try that again. What do you want to do? What do you want to see first round? And is that different than what you think is best for the team in the first round?
100% I want the Canadiens.
Yeah.
That's not even a question.
Okay.
I mean, I think the Bruins are a better team. Actually, and they might not be a better team 1 through 20. But I think they've got a better first line.
Oh my God, yeah.
And that first line has the ability to essentially slay the Maple Leafs for whatever God knows reason. they just have their number no matter who we have on our squad.
Yeah.
The Montreal Canadiens are still a small, soft team.
I think so too.
I don't think they have the guys. Carey Price isn't Carey Price of 2 years ago or 5 years ago.
Sure, but he's been better than he was last year, for sure. Like, he's bounced back a bit.
He's still a good goaltender.
Yeah.
But is he Carey Price who's going to take you through three rounds of the playoffs on his own back?
No.
No, he's not that guy anymore. They don't have the defense anymore.
No.
They're reliant on Drouin, who's actually having a very good year, and Max Domi, who is nothing more than a second-line player in this league. I'm sorry.
I'm with you.
You can dress him up as much as you want, Nick Kiprios, but that's all he ever is, and that's all he's ever going to be. He's not consistent enough. He's too small to play he's got great hands, but he's just inconsistent with it, right?
When you look at them down the middle, right, with they're running like Artturi Lehkonen as your number one center, like give me that all day against Matthews, Tavares, and Kadri, right? Like, come on.
Yeah. No, I think if the Leafs had their pick, that would – if you got them off the cuffs, that's probably the guy the team they'd want to play.
I think Price would scare me.
Match them.
I think Price could scare me that he could get hot for 2 weeks and burn you. But I think I'm going to take my chances there just against, like you said, that unreal top line. The fact that no one will call a penalty against Chera in the playoffs, despite the fact that guys are blowing past him.
Wait, hold on. You want it? Just want to take a step back. You just said you think Price would scare you.
Yep.
You know who scares me? Tuukka Rask scares me.
Yeah, yeah, I get
Tuukka
that
Rask
too.
Tuukka Rask this day scares me. And it's like he's still pissed off that we traded him away when he was a junior.
It's true. So you know what? I think I'm with you. I don't even know if it's going to be an option because I kind of expect, and I didn't expect them to hang around this long, but I still sort of expect the Canadiens are going to fade a little bit down the stretch. I don't think they're going to fall right out of it just because the rest of our division is so bad, but I kind of think Boston ends up overtaking them in the long run. I think I'm with you. I would rather see the Habs, but I don't think we're gonna. I think as the season plays out, Boston gets back ahead of them is sort of my prediction there. But
yeah, it's gonna be a tough one. And again, the least path to get to the finals this year is just, I mean, whether you play, you know, it looks like you're saying we're gonna play Boston, then you gotta play Tampa.
Yeah.
You know, in the Metropolitan Division, it's a cakewalk.
Well, yeah, a lot of these teams aren't what they once were, right? But the Caps would still scare me a little. I don't know how bad I want to do that again. But, or, you know, we did that 2 years ago. We're a better team now. But, yeah, the tougher road is for sure through our division.
Yeah, there's no easy, especially if you're the second or third place team. That's just going to be a grind to get to that third round, in which case you might be too beat up to really make any noise.
You might be better off to fall to the bottom wild card and then get the Islanders over there and if they're going to hold on at the top of that division, because I'd take a run at those fuckers too. And then wouldn't that be fun with Tavares?
God, yeah, it would. And it's interesting to see what the Islanders are doing right now. And I wonder if it's – is it the Islanders or is it more just the Capitals got off, you know, to a weird start this year, you know, post-cup run. The Penguins haven't been great. The Flyers were awful. The Rangers have been awful. Outside of tonight. you know, the Blue Jackets have been good, but not great. It's a much more mediocre division.
It looks like it. I think the Caps, for me, know that they just have to be good enough to get in, right? I don't want to see them in the playoffs. I don't want to play them. They've got a taste for it now. They've got the experience. They've got the horses. They've got the goaltending. I think they're, I wouldn't say, you know, sleepwalking, but they just know, just be good enough to get in, and then they could go all the way. Whereas the Islanders are busting their asses trying to get first, and to me, that's an easy first-round matchup for somebody with a little more experience, right? Somebody's taking them down.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking through their last couple of games here. I mean, their wins are... they did beat the Capitals.
Yeah.
But, you know, they beat the Devils. They lost to the Blackhawks. They beat the Ducks like everybody else on the planet. they beat the Kings. They beat... they lost to the Island. They lost to the Bruins. They beat the Devil. Like, they're beating up on some pretty weak teams in their division, which make their record look a little bit better. That being said, they'd be tied with the Leafs, right?
So yeah, it's true. Why don't we move over to the NBA? We'll start with the Raptors, just because I think to our listenership, that's the most intriguing team that, you know, people listen to hear about. They send out Jonas Valanciunas, CJ Miles, DeLon Wright, I believe, is the other guy.
That's right.
Yeah, to pick up Marc Gasol from the Memphis Grizzlies. Marc Gasol is a center. He's about 34 years old. So he's got some experience, but, you know, he's a star player, at least at one point was a star player. I don't think you're expecting him now to be a superstar, but he can still get it done. What was your first reaction to the deal when it came down on deadline day in the NBA there? Just, I believe it was Thursday.
I was absolutely hyped. When this came across, I couldn't have been happier. This, you know, there was a picture the Raptors put out the last 2 years. You know, this is the big three going into the playoffs. And it was JV, it was Kyle, and it was DeMar.
Right.
And now it's Kyle, it's Kawhi, and it's Marc Gasol.
Yeah.
And is this Marc Gasol, who was an all-star for 3 years in a row, defensive player of the year? No, it's not that anymore. I mean, he's definitely at the end of his career. He is 34 right now. This guy's still averaging just under 13 points a game. He's a tremendous playmaker. He's fantastic around the rim, great defense. As he gets a little bit older, maybe he's slowing down compared to young Marc Gasol, but he's still a much better defender than JV is, even given the age difference.
Right.
He had been taking a lot more threes earlier in the year. That's kind of petered off as the calendar changed over. But just his ability to see the game, his ability to actually make great passes, soft touch. One of my biggest complaints over the years with JV was always that it looked like he was catching a hot potato sometimes with the ball. And, you know, the ball would just bounce off his hands from time to time. We're not going to see this with Marc Gasol. He's a much calmer player. His vision's fantastic. We're going to be able to use him a little bit as a point guard. A little, you know, he's actually able to make those. His vision is there is what I think I'm trying to say, which is just going to take, again, more of that stress away from Kyle, to let Kyle be a little bit more of a shooter, hopefully help him, you know, rest up a little bit as the season winds down. Marc Gasol does come with a little bit of injury trouble, you know, as he's a big boy, getting a little bit on in his career. He's definitely been experiencing some neck and back issues this past year. He actually missed the last game against Toronto because of that reason. That could also be because he was playing for close to a last place team.
Right.
You know, sometimes you just don't want to suit up every day when you know you're probably going to get traded at some point later this year. He does come with an option on his contract, which he'd probably opt out of, which is why he was available for essentially, I mean, this was essentially JV and DeLon Wright for Marc Gasol. He's a significant upgrade over JV. Points, shooting percentage, defense, vision, all of that, all the intangibles. He's really going to be a much bigger anchor on defense. One of the things a lot of the news agencies were talking about was how this is going to affect the Raptors' ability to take care of Philadelphia if they run into them in the playoffs, because he basically owns Joel Embiid.
Really?
And absolutely just shuts him down every time, which I thought was funny, because if anybody's bothered to watch a Raptor 76er game this year, knows we shut down Joel Embiid every game.
Wasn't a concern.
Yeah, that was never a thing I was worried about.
Right.
Now, that's a team. We'll get to them because they made some very interesting moves that I think made them a lot better. Interesting enough, the day after the Raptors basically spanked them and sent them home packing.
Right.
So it seemed like they decided after that game they knew they had to go all in. Having split the first two, they lost in Toronto and won in at home in Philly without Kyle, without Kawhi. But you know, take your wins where you
it
can
all
get them.
Counts. Yeah, yeah.
Right, they all count at the end of the year.
How do you think?
Go ahead. I was going to say, I know a lot of my friends were upset about losing DeLon Wright. He's a 27-year-old third-year player. He played full 4 years in university down in Utah. Another guy with good vision, but he had already been passed. Passed in a depth chart by Fred VanVleet.
Yeah,
Fred was the guy who had become the number two guy on our team. DeLon seemed to have maybe some confidence issues on the court sometimes. Great wingspan, really lengthy defender, had some very silky moves, but he's the type of guy that, you know, there's just a handful of them in the league anyways.
Right.
We're not going to miss him as, you know, he might have been.
I'm curious on that with Kyle's back issues and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but Fred VanVleet has not been 100% healthy all this year either. Are you worried at all about our depth at that position? I mean, if you're running DeLon Wright out there, you're already in trouble, but you have now eroded away at that position, you know, with two question marks ahead of him, two better players, but with kind of question marks there right now. Is that a concern?
It's always a concern, but this is basketball, right? You're basically trying to run out the best five guys you can at any point, right? And to do that, you got to give up some depth. Right. I mean, if Steph Curry goes down with a sprained ankle, what the hell is Golden State doing for a point guard?
And now I certainly understand to acquire a primary piece and you're giving up backup pieces to get them. You do it. But it does mean you may have a bit of an issue in your own, you know, depth right now.
For sure. Right. Yeah. And I mean, let's get this straight. DeLon Wright was the third shooting guard and point guard. And CJ Miles was the third small forward.
Yeah.
Last shooting guard. So.
You're giving up secondary pieces to acquire a primary piece. That's
100%. And I think this does give the Raptors a little bit more of a varied look, surprisingly.
Yeah.
In a team that doesn't need another varied look, quite frankly. but this, you know, what we realized last year was you could not play JV alongside Serge Ibaka.
Right.
And allow them to both be kind of their prime players.
Sure.
Bringing Marcus Gasol in allows you to keep Siakam in the starting lineup. Sometimes you can move Serge down to the four. You can bump some guys, you can move some of those pieces around now, depending on the matchup. And I think it makes us a much more efficient team. I don't think there's any doubt in anybody's mind that Marcus Gasol is going to be starting at the five for every game, as long as he's,
I was just going to ask you,
and it's not going to be load management.
What
it's
does
not
this mean for Serge Ibaka, right? Who, you know, certainly capable, but last year in the playoffs was a bit of an adventure for him. You expect him to now be the secondary guy. Nick Nurse was interviewed and he had said, I guess what you'd have to say at this point, which is I want to take a look at everything. We'll see how it goes. I haven't decided anything, which you'd want to say to protect your own guy that you've had here for a little while. But you expect him to now kind of be the secondary piece there. He's going to back up Gasol, as so to speak.
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to see. I think we're going to, and to be honest, before JV had the thumb dislocation and fracture, they were really splitting that time anyways.
Right.
And it depended who they were playing, which guy was going to start. I think Serge did start more games. I also think Serge is a better player than JV, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Serge is a very undersized center. He's kind of an in-between body.
Yeah.
I think this is going to allow him to swing down to the four at times and to play the five at other times. With JV hurt, you could see he was starting to get tired. He was putting up too many minutes. And unfortunately, you want to talk about depth, we were running out Greg Monroe, who, you know, didn't need to be playing more than 6-7 minutes a game. You could see he was just, again, too big, too slow to play in today's NBA. I was at the game against Milwaukee last week or about 10 days ago now. And Serge started great. By the fourth quarter, Serge was just huffing and puffing.
Right.
And not to say any of us would look any better out there, but for an NBA player, you could just see he was getting a little tired. The shots, you know, his legs started to go by the end of the game because he had to play so many minutes because we really didn't have a backup in or another option with Greg Monroe on the bench.
Yeah.
I think this is where the Raptors have historically been weak is up front. We have enough guards. We have some forwards. This presents, again, another star player and another guy that teams have to respect. Again, is he a top 20 player in the league anymore? No, that'd be really pushing it. In the East, is he one of the top 20? For sure. Maybe even one of the top 15 still.
Okay.
He's going to change things for the Raptors, and it's going to be something we're not going to see this immediately because he's going to have to just get integrated into the play calling. Right. He's going to have to, you know, he's been in Memphis for probably a decade. You know, if as I get older, I forget how many years we've all been around. Something close to a decade, right? Playing with Mike Conley. He does have a small relationship with Kyle Lowry, as that was a team that drafted Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
So they were both much, much younger at the time. I think this is a great move, and I think this does kind of solidify the Raptors as a top two team. And with the Bucks and Philadelphia making moves, I think it was something they had to do, although they've come out and said they didn't have to do anything. I think any smart fan understands that they're in a position where they also have to, you know, kind of appease Kawhi a bit.
Yeah,
right?
You're trying to convince this guy that you're for real and
show them that you're really in for the end game here.
And I think even in terms of spirit, right? For whatever that's worth, if everybody around you is loading up and you don't, you know, does your dressing room sag just a little bit going, okay, we could have used a boost there, right? I think Masai had to go out and get something.
Yeah, and we saw this with the Blue Jays a couple years ago, right?
Yeah.
Where one year they were kind of pushing and knocking on the door. They did a whole lot of nothing.
It's true, man.
Jose Bautista came out and complained about it to the media. The next year, again, we're kind of twirling around 500. Next thing you know, we got Tulowitzki and we've got Price. David Price and whoever else came over.
Yeah. LaTroy Hawkins. Don't you dare forget LaTroy Hawkins.
Was that the year we got Ben Revere too?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, we just loaded up one day all of a sudden and the team responded. I think there is a morale thing.
Sure.
You're actually seeing this on the other side in the other conference with LA.
Right.
Right. You got guys, young guys who their names have been leaked. They've kind of been thrown around the media sites. And the last couple of games, that team has looked like a G League team out there. They look awful. They don't want to, like, nobody's in it for the team anymore, right?
Yeah.
They know they're all expendable. They know they're all just pawns in LeBron's game. and they're playing like that, right? Morale is a thing on any team, whether you're in a boardroom, when you're in a basketball court or the ice rink.
For sure. For sure.
And you got to respect that, right?
This team has not been 100% completely healthy since opening night. I think it was the second game of the year that we saw Kawhi take two games off and then come back. By the time he came back, someone else was missing. They haven't had a full lineup. They've never been able to build maybe the chemistry and some of the cohesiveness that you'd like to see. Now you've moved out some pieces to bring another one back in. You're probably going to have to add some more to fill out, you know, the rest of your roster here with some buyout candidates. Any concern from you that this may never totally come together, that they're not going to mesh? We just haven't had a chance yet to see this whole thing work the way you want it to. This is a big move.
Yeah, and you hope adding a guy like Gasol is going to maybe improve it. Again, his court vision's much better than just about any big in the league.
Mm-hmm.
His ability to move the ball and be a primary passer is going to be fantastic for us. He's going to be a great rim defender, especially on defense between him and Kawhi and Danny Green.
Yeah.
We just get stronger and stronger in defense, which, as Raptor fans know, come playoff time is going to be something that
absolutely
would be nice for our team to be the ones locking down on defense as opposed to the other team on our stars. This is going to change things. And again, it's any midseason move is always tough, right? Because you never know what is that going to do to team chemistry, the flow of the ball, in this case. But as you alluded to, we haven't had a full roster at all. And it's been disappointing as a Raptor fan because Kawhi and Kyle have not meshed
right
the way that I think everybody hoped they would. And maybe in this case, taking the ball out of his hands, they started to do that a little bit, having Fred VanVleet play alongside of Kyle and letting Fred be the primary ball passer. It's a tricky situation because you've also got a guy like Siakam, who's kind of a fast break, very smooth, fluid player. Kawhi is still a stop the ball on me type of guy.
Yeah.
So they just have not figured out that lineup combination and the right play calls to make. Part of me is still optimistic because we've seen too many Raptor teams figure it out in November and get stale by the time the playoffs come down, and everybody already knows what they're going to do. And it's not a surprise to any opposing team, and they just game planned around Kyle and DeMar for so many years. At least now we have two new players who can actually create shots for themselves and present a lot of trouble. You alluded to, you know, filling out the roster a bit. The Raptors did finally announce Malcolm Miller and Chris Boucher. They turned them over to full contracts.
Okay.
So that fills out spot 11 and 12. That allowed them to go out. I can't remember if it was late last night, I think. Ben McLemore was the first buyout candidate that they picked up. He's a former 7th overall pick with Sacramento. Hasn't had a great career. One of these guys wherever he was supposed to be the next Ray Allen. It never really panned out. He is shooting 40% from three in very, very limited minutes. I think he was averaging only like 8 or 10 minutes a game this year in Sacramento.
Right.
Now, Sacramento was also way better than they were supposed to be this year.
Right.
They've got a couple young guys that have just been outstanding this year. We're going to see. I mean, it's an interesting contract. They signed him to a 10-day deal, but I think there's only two games left before the All-Star break. So it's essentially a two-game tryout for Ben McLemore. What it does is give the Raptors just a little bit of time to figure out who else is going to be bought out.
Because this has got to be March 1st, right? You have to have this done.
Yeah, and it's been weird. Usually right away, you get about 10 guys who are just released immediately after the trade deadline.
Yeah.
It seems like some teams are trying to sort themselves out right now. Wayne Ellington was on the Raptors' radar, apparently. He's decided to go to the Pistons. Trying to think of the other guy that was right on there. Oh, Wesley Matthews, who the Raptors had been linked to years ago when he signed his big contract with Dallas. And he's gone. He got traded to the Knicks, released, and ended up on the Pacers. The problem is for the Raptors, they're not going to be able to give their buyout guys, if they do find more buyout guys, a lot of playing time.
Yeah.
And some of these guys want playing time. And that was kind of the sentiment that's kind of been through the news with those two guys. There's still a bunch of guys who were supposed to come available. Zach Randolph, who played with Marc Gasol for years. And again, is he going to play any actual minutes for the Raptors? No, but would it be okay to have a veteran guy who can, you know, maybe give, you know, be in the locker room, say all the right things, and maybe play 5 minutes in a playoff game if we needed him?
Right.
Possibly. An interesting one might be actually Terrence Ross has been rumored to be on the bio market.
How about that?
And considering what we need is a lengthy wing who can hit the three ball.
Yeah.
He would actually be a perfect
guy. Bring him back. Why not?
I think a lot of Raptor fans would love to see him come back around.
So before we shift off the Raptors to anybody else, you know, we've talked about Gasol maybe not being what he once was, but still a substantial upgrade on what they had. You know, this is hard to ask without going into the rest of these teams, which we're going to do in a second. Do you think this shifts the balance of power at all in the East? You know, we've seen what Milwaukee has done so far. Philadelphia has added. Do you think this changes much for the Raptors throughout the rest of the regular season in terms of where they might finish? Or is this strictly a move for round one and beyond?
I think this was a move to keep pace with the 76ers, or like stay ahead of the 76ers.
Okay.
And it was a very important move to compete with the Bucks. You know, the Bucks are really built around three-point shooting.
Yeah.
And in the last game against Toronto, that's exactly what just blew the Raptors up. we also had one of the worst shooting performances of the season. I think they were like 2 of 17 at one point from three. You know, it's just not going to happen on the average night in the NBA.
Right.
Having a guy like Gasol out there who can space the floor properly, he's going to pull the Bucks center, Robin Lopez, out of the paint, which is going to open up the ability for whether it's Kyle or Fred or Kawhi to get to the bucket. So it's a really huge spacing move for the Raptors that Serge can't do and that JV never could do either. And it's not that Gasol is going to hit that many three balls, but it's his ability to, again, pass the ball and make plays.
That seems to be a huge part of this, right, is his ability to pass over the guys that he's going to replace, right, to put the ball in the right guy's hands at the right moments and be able to get that in there, right? Like, there just seemed to be a lack of crispness at times in the playoffs. This guy's not going to be intimidated. He's going to feed it in where it needs to get.
Yeah, and this is a guy, I mean, and again, they never quite got there with Memphis. They had some really good teams, the grit and grind teams.
Yep.
But he's a seasoned veteran. This is not, you know, some of the moves these other teams made were to get guys who are good players, but are untested players.
Yeah.
Marc Gasol was the biggest get of the trade deadline. And I do think it was in part for the Raptors. They identified the fact that how do we need to beat the Bucks? To me, and for my money, the Raptors and the Bucks are still the top two teams. Mm-hmm. I thought that the Bucks did kind of outmatch us as a team over the three games that I've watched this year. I've said it a million times to you on this podcast, the 76ers just don't scare me at all. They're a little bit better now, but I think the Marc Gasol move was a bigger move than what the Philadelphia 76ers did by bringing in Tobias Harris and Jonathan Simmons.
Right.
I think that just we were already better, and this improves the Raptors more than those moves improved the 76ers.
Well, that's the name of the game in an arms race, right? Is I'll see you're this and raise you that. So, you know, we've kind of loosely now referenced, you know, the Bucks. We've referenced the 76ers. There was a ton of talk about, you know, whether Davis was going to get moved out, especially towards LA. What else stood out to you? What were the big stories, the biggest moves that came outside of Toronto on deadline day?
Well, I mean, you just said it right there. The biggest move that was actually made outside of Toronto was the one that wasn't made.
Right.
Right. With Davis not moving anywhere, this is going to provide storylines until the playoffs. And then as soon as the playoffs end, this is going to be a storyline. What is Davis doing? Is he going to Boston now that Boston's going to be able to make a pitch for him in the summer?
Right.
Is he going to force his way to LA? Is somebody else going to step up in the meantime? It's a very interesting, interesting point of his career and of LeBron's career. And of, you know, the importance of kind of if Davis wants to play with LeBron, how important it is for both of them right now to do this as soon as possible, because Davis is still actually under contract for another year.
Right.
Which means LeBron's going to be 36 by the time Davis can just sign there by himself, by his own accord. So
did it seem like to you he was trying to indicate so strongly, this is what I want to do, that you might as well just send me there now because I'm not going to give you what you want here?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what's happened. Because that's what NBA players have been doing for a number of years.
Yeah.
Right? The most famous one that comes to my mind is Carmelo Anthony leaving Denver and basically saying, send me to the Knicks.
Right.
You know, and not really just saying, don't even listen to anybody else's offers. Right. I won't open this up and I'm not going to give you what you need. So
I think it was on the day that Kristaps Porzingis was dealt. I think, where did he end up now? I'm sorry, I'm blanking.
He's in Dallas
right now. Yeah, went to Dallas. Down goes Brown tweeted out something along the lines of NHL GMs and then like quotation marks. Oh, the salary cap makes it so hard to make a deal. We'll talk about it for 6 or 8 months and and maybe get to it at some point. And then NBA GM in quotes, our star player woke up cranky today, so we traded him over lunch. Right.
Yeah.
It's just like none of this is a factor in the NBA. It's so much more interesting. Stars move around all the time. They don't blame the cap. I understand that it's a bit of a soft cap. That changes things a little bit. But, man, the names that were in play on deadline day. Just don't compare to, you know, God love him here in Toronto, Jake Muzzin, right? Like, it's just not that league. They're trading superstars. We're dealing second pair defenders at best, right? Like,
yeah, and I think a lot of that, and we've alluded to this with the NHL coaching carousel, right?
Yeah.
How often do the same guys get recycled over and over again?
Yeah.
The only young guy in the league is Dubas right now.
Yeah.
And he's doing stuff that not everybody loves.
John Chyka down in Arizona as well. But
that's
both,
right. That's
yeah,
right.
But both of those guys are wicked unpopular with the old boys club, right? Like, they don't want these kids to succeed.
That's exactly it. Where in the NBA, you don't have that old guard that's just necessarily holding everybody back.
Yeah.
You've got guys who are into analytics. And I think because of that, and mind you, basketball is an easier game to do analytics for.
Sure.
Just the way the game moves.
Yep.
But I think because of that, teams can look at one player and go, yeah, that's what I need.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Let's make
it. And then just go do it.
You need that. Let's just make this move.
Yeah.
And yeah, the soft cap helps a little bit. I also think the lack of a true minor league also makes the NBA a little bit more interesting.
Yeah.
Because what it means is there's a lot of guys who are just floating in that we haven't been signed, but we could step on the court at any point.
Sure.
Yeah. You've got that kind of weird in-between spot. You've already said the next one, which was the biggest star to move is actually KP going to Dallas from the Knicks.
Right.
I'm waiting for the 30 for 30 to come out 20 years from now about this. Because, like, as you said, I wouldn't have even known there was something going on, but you actually had tagged me in a tweet saying, what's happening? And I'm like, at work going, oh, Porzingis isn't happy. I check back about an hour later and he's in gone. Dallas.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, did you even have time to call any other teams at this point? This is kind of like that Ryan Smith deal at some point, right?
Yeah.
Where they just decided, like,
oh, fuck, you're not
having coffee.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, let's make a move here. Apparently, this is the only part that, and I don't know how helpful he would have been to the Raptors this year, for instance.
Right.
But he did give a list of five teams, and one of them was the Raptors that he was willing to go to.
Man, what a different world, eh? And I don't want to circle all the way back to Toronto, but at one point, this was such a, I don't want to say Mickey Mouse organization, but this was not a place that top players were willing to come. And they look here now, and obviously it's because of Kawhi and what the other pieces that have been built here. But yes, I'm willing to come to this sub-zero, you know, vortex that has engulfed Canada right now and play there because there's a reasonable chance to win and the organization is legit. That never would have happened as recently as 5 or 6 years ago.
Yep. And that's, you know, say what you want about Tim Leiweke, but that's when it all started, right?
For sure. Shanahan for the Leafs, Masai Ujiri for the Raps, some guy for TFC, and they were off and running, right? Like,
but that's it, right? They provide a stable organization, right? It doesn't really, I mean, it does matter who your players are.
Of course.
But your players tend to stay if you have a stable organization.
Yeah.
Right? And this is what happened. The Knicks are one of the, you know, the golden children of the NBA.
Yeah.
But they're run by a complete moron in James Dolan.
Yeah.
They're another team who bring
back
Leafs
like for a long time, right? This
very much
centerpiece
very
of
much
the league that's just trash for decades.
Yeah. And as I'm looking at the KP trade right now, there's another two guys who might be bought out in Harrison Barnes and DeAndre Jordan.
Right.
We'll see what happens with those guys. Oh, man, it's to talk about dumb teams. They traded a cornerstone piece who's on a rookie deal still for cap space in the hopes of getting an interview to sign Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant is the one I kept hearing,
Right? I mean, just they're just trying to get a fucking interview, for God's sakes.
Ask the Habs how that went with John Tavares.
That's exactly where my mind went. I'm like, what is going to – and granted, you know, maybe they convince one of these guys to, you know, be the guy to turn it around for that you know,
that's always the pitch, right? If you could win it here. And I don't want to keep bringing this basketball talk back to hockey, but you and I are so close to it, right? Man, if someone could win in Toronto, you'd be made forever. And it's similar, right? If you could pull the Knicks back to it, you would be a made man.
Yeah, and I guess that's what would happen in New York.
It would be huge.
Who was it? It was Spike Lee was on a podcast I was listening to the other day. 61 or 62 years old now, but he, you know, sitting front row at the Knicks games for the last 15 years or so, 20 years maybe.
Yeah.
He's as diehard as a fan as you can get. God love him. And he was saying, you know, yes, we hate it, but yeah, could you sell me on Kyrie and Kevin Durant coming in? What if we draft number one and get Zion?
Right.
And you're like, okay, yeah, that's how you turn it around. But God, that's a lot of dominoes
to
fall.
Sure it is.
That's a lot of winning scratch tickets that you got to hit all in a row.
But the Leafs win the lottery, get Austin Matthews. The Leafs got lucky on getting Mitch Marner and what he's turned into. And then you sign the big free agent, John Tavares, and you're off and running looking like a contender.
No.
If you can,
but that happened over 4 years.
Yeah. But if you can win the if you can get the piece you need in the draft and then convince these guys to, I don't know, I don't want to get bogged down on the fucking Knicks, but that's an organization that could, in theory, turn it around reasonably quickly. They've got the financial might. You just got to get lucky a little bit.
Yeah, and you can sell some guys on the market share, right?
Sure.
You can be a bigger star in New York than you can be in anywhere else in the world. That still holds true, at least in basketball. Maybe not if you play for the Islanders,
right?
But for maybe some other teams.
True, man.
The other one that's interesting to talk about, the Bucks added Nikola Mirotic, another dead-eye three-point shooter. So
adding, I wasn't to your strength,
to see that.
Yeah.
However, he is in one of my group chats. Somebody brought up like, oh God, here we go. They just added another three-ball shooter. Nikola Mirotic, for anybody who remembers, famously got his face broken this year in a fight in the first week of the season with his own team. and then after his face broken, the Chicago Bulls decided to trade him.
Okay.
Not the guy who broke his face, but him. So to me, I'm like, well, that just tells me not a guy who...
There was an old game for Sega Genesis called Mario Lemieux Hockey, maybe in like 93, where only the loser of the fight went to the penalty box. If you won the fight, you didn't get penalized.
Yeah.
That's sort of what this sounds like. Well, we're not keeping the guy who keeps getting his face broken. We'll keep the tough guy.
Yeah, big tough guy over here. Let's bring him in.
Yeah.
He's really going to stand up in the fire of the playoffs, let me tell you that.
Yeah. The Bucks, man, you said at the beginning of the season, keep an eye on these guys, and what the fuck do I know? But I'm sitting there going, yeah, I guess, right? Like, they'll be in the mix, but, man, they're fucking good, and they only got better. Like, and I know I know you said you're not sweating the Sixers, but over the course of this season, they've steadily improved as well. It wouldn't shock me if they stepped up and bit somebody on the ass in the playoffs, right? Like,
yeah, and they definitely could. They just... I've watched a couple of their non-versus Toronto games, let's call it.
Yeah.
And they tend to come out real... I mean, they did actually beat Golden State the other day, so talk about biting teams on the ass.
Yeah.
But they tend to fold against bigger teams. And it's not that they're not in the game, but you said they've kind of gotten steadily better, right? They started the season with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and a couple other pieces. They added Jimmy Buckets.
Yep.
Talk about a guy who nobody likes in the dressing room. Jimmy Buckets apparently stormed out of the dressing room. Didn't talk to media after the Raptors just beat them down.
Right.
He's a free agent. He's clearly looking out for himself at this point. They've added a guy in Tobias Harris, who's another free agent to be. A guy who is averaging 16 shots a game for the Clippers. He's a scorer. Let's not cut corners here. The guy can score.
Right.
But now he's the number four option on this team. You know, in two games with Philly, he's averaged 12 shots, whether that goes up or down. The thing with these you know, when you have more than three guys who are supposed to be star players on a team, somebody's can't shoot the ball.
Sure, yeah.
And to go back to that analogy about starting goalies or backup goalies we were talking about at the top of the podcast, if you go from taking 15 shots or 16 shots to 10 a game,
yeah,
that's going to affect you somehow. And not for every guy, but for some guys. And Tobias Harris was the number one option on the Clippers all season long. And now he's the number four.
Right.
So is he going to be – is he going to make that team better? Yes, because he was better than their other number four option. But is he going to be the same Tobias Harris?
Remains to be seen, yeah.
That's tough.
And you see that across sports, right? You bring in a depth guy to come onto your power play, but he's not the number one option anymore. It doesn't quite work. You bring in a great closer to be your setup guy. He's not used to that role. It doesn't quite work, right? Like, sometimes it's as much situational as it is, you know, talent. And
yeah,
you know, this remains to be seen whether or not that's going to work for Philly.
And I understand why Philly's doing it. They've got two guys on rookie deals. You've got Embiid for fairly cheap. You've got Simmons for very cheap. You got to go for it. This is the time to actually try it, because theoretically you're gonna sign these guys to long term deals anyways.
Yeah.
So go for it now. You can fix the problems later on.
Sure.
Now they have, and I'm totally blanking on their GM's name. He's a first year GM. He's an ex player. It's his first year. This is why some of these deals don't make sense to me. He's brought in a lot of guys in. They've turned over about half their roster at the trade deadline, which is just interesting.
Well, yeah, if you're worried about chemistry in Toronto.
Yeah. and speaking of that, who did Toronto trade Malachi Richardson to? The 76ers.
Right.
Who did they send? Who else was it? They sent Greg Monroe to the Nets, I think. But yeah, they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys they were able to add this year at the trade deadline.
Jesus Christ.
Which is just fucking nuts.
Yeah, wow.
Just absolutely nuts. Now, they did get rid of their sideshow in Markelle Fultz, who's the number one pick 2 years ago, who famously has lost his jump shot. Sometime between March Madness and getting drafted, he forgot how to shoot.
It's like, and when Shawn Michaels lost his smile, man. That's too bad. It's too bad.
I was going to go with a Chuck Knoblauch joke. But
sure. Yeah. All right. I like that too.
Bring up some wrestling.
Before we wind this down, did you see anything in the West that shifted the balance of power at all, or is that pretty much fait accompli?
Yeah. God, that was weird. I expected a lot more. Nobody seemed to really make moves in the West. This was a very East-dominant trade deadline.
It looked that way, yeah.
There's a couple things, you know, like the Houston Rockets shed some salary. Portland had made a trade for Rodney Hood a couple days before the deadline. Nice piece for them to pick up.
Yeah.
Not going to matter.
Okay.
You know, Portland's just not good enough, unfortunately. Sacramento, they made a nice little push to get into the playoffs. That's a team that's just been god-awful. So, good for them for trying to give something to their fans, I guess.
Yeah.
Trying to think now. They added some guys like Harrison Barnes and moved out some other just basic pieces. They've been pretty good. They've got a nice little point guard, in Fox and Buddy Held, small forward. Excellent players, and they've definitely been playing great. Probably why McLemore got released as well. So they're trying to make the playoffs for the first time in maybe a decade or something crazy. They're another team with a really weird kind of crotchety owner who just gets too involved. So this has been a great thing for the Sacramento fans. So that's kind of like the one feel good story. I think outside of that, the Houston's Golden State are going to be looking for buyout guys.
Yeah.
They don't really have anybody they could trade, really. Those teams are so top heavy.
Yeah, for sure.
They need those guys on the buyout. So I've heard some stuff like maybe Martin Gorat, who terrorized the Raptors for a couple years with Washington, might be on his way to Golden State. We'll see. I think this next week will provide us with some more basketball news and hype and keep the league at the forefront as we get into the All-Star break for the NBA.
Looks like, man. And we'll start to wind this one down. You can give us a follow if you want on Twitter, on Instagram at TallCanAudio. Matty's on Instagram at MattDoesPhysio. You can follow his physiotherapy blog there. Some pretty cool stuff he puts up pretty regularly. We're also on Facebook at Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. We are, for most teams, less than a week away now from pitchers and catchers reporting as we sit here in the middle of fucking winter. Spring training is getting ready to kick off. Manny Machado and Bryce Harper remain unsigned. Last I heard this weekend was that the Yankees had put one more offer on the table of $220 million for Machado, and he had said no thank you. So gosh, I'm not sure in February what the fuck that guy's still looking for, but this has been madness. Do you have any, just before we wrap this up, any thoughts on where either one of these fucking guys is going to end up at the end of the day, man?
Have you seen any numbers for Harper?
No. It wouldn't shock me to see Harper right back in Washington.
God. I think, listen, the baseball contracts have been crazy for far too long.
Yeah.
And I think the teams are just
This is nuts. You're picking guys in their 20s who are superstar caliber who could change your franchise to take this stand on. You take that stand on Josh Donaldson, not on Bryce Harper.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I mean, I think the numbers they're looking for is a little astronomical.
Yeah, for sure, man.
To say the least. I mean,
I'm a little overweight. Like, that's yeah. If this is the scale.
Baseball, man, the TV numbers are what draws baseball still. And as a league, they still make a shit ton of money.
Yep, that's it.
And I can understand these guys holding off because at some point somebody's going to break.
They both seem to want $300 million and someone offered you $220 in February and you said no. I don't know, man. If you haven't got it yet, I wonder.
I think what these guys have forgotten is there's only so many teams that can pay you that much money.
Yeah. Like I could
see. You're looking at very limited teams that are willing and that have the market space to do that.
I could see Bryce Harper going back on a 1 year, something stupid, $30 million, $35 million, and trying this again next year. If I'm Machado, though, I don't want any part of that because next year I'm going up against Nolan Arenado, and I'll take that guy over Machado any day. So I think he's stuck. He has to get a long-term deal now. And it gets weird, man. We're into February. We're pushing up against March. Do you want to show up to spring training? And I mean, they're gonna, but having not yet, you know, you get a call on March 1st, you're signing with the Yankees and off you go. You haven't set up your family, right? Like you haven't done any of this shit. It seems so weird that we're here in mid-February and both of these franchise changing players are still available.
And maybe you just call it, right? We get a team that's going to go, okay, you know what? We're not going to give it to you for 8 years or 7 years, but what we'll do is we'll give you your $35 million
today. Yeah.
Right.
Like, I guess
we have a chance to win. So let's just go for it. I think you're right. I think Bryce Harper has probably goodest chance to land back in Washington for at least another year.
Yeah.
I still love seeing these guys spend their career with one team. I still think it's something a little, you know, romanticized by that.
And yeah.
It's not like Washington's a small market team. If anybody can give him money, it could be them.
Sure.
And they should be able to compete. I think everybody on their team had a fairly down year last year. Machado's interesting because he's a guy who 2 years ago you would have said, no problem.
Yeah.
But he started to get to that Josh Donaldson crest of his career a little bit, where he's not the offensive guy he used to be. He's not the defensive guy he used to be. And now we're being nitpicky because he was the best player in the league.
Yeah, oh yeah.
or you know,
right there, right there.
Right? He was a top
three guy. With Mike Trout and yeah, these guys, yeah.
Right? So is he a step down from that? Yeah. But I think teams are looking and going, do I want to pay this guy for 8 years? None of this money.
Right. Yeah, I think that's right. And as long as that's the case, I'm good with it. As long as you just stay the fuck out of the AL East, right?
So I was going to say, so you know where he's going to go? He's going to go right to the goddamn Yankees.
Of course he is.
eventually they'll come to some sort of number.
When we saw this a little bit last year with JD Martinez and the Red Sox, right, who made it, you know, kind of sat this out and waited and waited and waited, and at the last minute went to him and said, here's what I got for you. And it was still a monster deal, but it wasn't what he had been asking for. And you go, here you go, if you want it. And he walks in, and I still think that could happen with one or, heaven forbid, both of these fucking guys in New York. And I think it's more likely to be Machado, but I haven't ruled out Harper. Just sort of looking at their outfield, it doesn't make a ton of sense there. But
God, that fucking lineup would just be hell.
Yeah, for a long time.
Would just be absolute hell.
You're already talking about Stanton and Judge and Sanchez, and now you're going to add one or two of these fuckers. Yeah, terrifying, man. So
I mean, talk about a league that needs a cap.
Anybody, like, just get these guys out of the AL East. Like, go back to Washington if you're Harper. I don't really care if Machado wants to go back to Baltimore because they're not scaring anybody at this point. But other than that, stay out of
the East.
Go
back to LA.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. Why don't we wind this
good weather down there?
Yeah, fuck, it's better than here. Why don't we wind this one down, my man? This has been Tall Can Sports number 299. For Maddie, I'm Matt. Like I said, you can give us a follow on all the social media shit at Tall Can Audio. Maddie's on Instagram at Matt Does Physio. He's on Twitter at Matthew Lang. All that stuff can be found on our feeds. We tag Maddie a lot, man. Thanks for doing this again on a Sunday night.
No problem, man. My pleasure.
We will wind this one down. Rob's back in studio later this week. We'll have we get that a lot. We'll have an all-new episode of Audio Whiplash then, and I'm sure he'll want to talk about some more Senators garbage. We'll see you later.
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.